bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Scholarships are available. Visit rtip.arizona.edu.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. A little less than second half. Hammer promised that he will have a short visit, and actually, you know, he's kind of, they're off this week anyway, so we'll kind of recap our 2 weeks together at Santa Anita, and Callie even volunteered. She said, "You might not, looks like you're not going to have room for me," and I said, you're like Jell-O. There's always room for Jell-O, but
Jell-O's not vibing with me, Steve.
No, you know.
For those listening, we just were talking about this off air. The word Jell-O just now gives me the ick. You've said it one too many times. No,
but wait a minute. Come on. You're from Wisconsin. You must have had those marshmallowy, you know, those mold. Your mom must have made those.
Which is exactly why I'm sick of the word Jell-O.
That's funny. You're sick too.
Steve, I'm a husk of the woman I once was about 2 weeks ago.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's because you're gallivanting around to all of these bachelorettes, where there's like a, it's like The Hangover Part 6.
Oh yeah, you worded it right there, buddy. Listen, it was in Denver. It was with a bunch of rowdy Gen Zs. I got zero sleep. And then prior to that, I was entertaining my parents in Maryland, in the DMV area. Like I said, I'm hanging by threads, physically and mentally right now.
Well, you better pull it together, because it's almost Preakness time.
I need to pull it together in 15 minutes. I'm going to be on set in 15 minutes, Steve.
Racing resumes, and actually, even before we get to
excuse my coughing.
That's all right. The remind me to send you my Thanksgiving my cranberry mold recipe, because that might bring you back into the fold. Yeah.
On the top of the list of reminders, I have to tell people, Steve.
By the way, because there's so many people that hang on all of my cooking exploits, for those of you who thought that my being away for 5 weeks was going to somehow mean there wasn't going to be a St. Patrick's Day corned beef in the kitchen, you'd be wrong, because Tina took Tina about 12 hours of my being back in town to say, when are you making the St. Patrick's Day corned beef? So that was yesterday. The corned beef, the braised corned beef. Because remember, Callie,
that is something I do remember from Wisconsin.
Now you're talking. When you boil, you spoil. Braise equals praise.
Oh, okay.
All right. That,
now I know.
Exactly.
Now I know. This is the top fact that I've learned today.
Well, we're not.
And it's not even noon.
Well, we're certainly not worried about you becoming a trad wife at any point. So, so maybe the recipes are not going to be, you know, well suited to send in
whatever
your direction.
Recipe you give me, I will refine it.
Ooh, all right.
I will always refine it.
Well, what's your why?
My brain is fuzzy. I can't answer these questions right now.
What's the number
You're
one?
You're expecting way too much of me right now.
What
but
is
go
the?
Go ahead and ask it.
What do you make? You have to impress somebody's parents or your own parents or your siblings. What goes in the oven? What do you make?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you tell me what you want, and I will make
it
very, very well. I am pretty decent in the kitchen. I love being in the kitchen. I love creating. That being said, and this is just the first thing that tops off of my head, because it's very simplistic and it's an easy grab, and it's something actually very easy to make. But goat cheese stuffed dates. Wrapped in bacon.
Okay.
A little bit of honey.
That's a great
Again, it's super easy. That doesn't require a lot of talent. So it's when I get to the situation of when you get into these individualized party situations, you've got to ask, you have to have information about said guests or whose house you're arriving to. Yeah. And that's what I base my dish off of.
Yeah. Very good. Are you a baker?
Yeah, anything in the kitchen.
All right. You make a Kringle?
No, I don't have time for that.
You don't have time for this whole conversation. Let's see. You got to be on set in 15 minutes.
It's fine. This is exactly why, Steve. I said, because I knew we were going to get into this stuff like this. So I said, Steve, why don't we just wait until next week?
No,
and we can just
you sent me you.
You're always late to the show. You're always late on my phone.
Well, you brought this on yourself because you said you hadn't been on in several weeks and you're ready to entertain. You basically promised a floor show.
Well, the problem is you're not giving me enough time for a great show, because how much time do we have to get into these steaks?
We got time.
Come on.
We actually got time. First of all, though, before the three steaks.
Four
steaks. That's right. You got the early one. It was a big week in Maryland. Your reaction to the exciting news.
Yes, it's, you know, here's the thing. I'm in between both parties. But regardless, I am extremely excited to what the future of racing in Maryland holds. And there are still a lot of unanswered questions, but that will come in due course, because I know plenty of people have them. I've just been talking to a couple people throughout the region. I was actually at Dave and Joanne Hayden's Dark Hollow Farm yesterday playing with babies.
Nice.
But whatever comes out of it, it's, you know, there's going to be change, but it's all needed change, as reflecting on what's happening over at Churchill and over in New York. The second jewel is just kind of chiming in, and it's A, about time, and B, it's going to be for so much of the better.
Agreed. Very welcome and exciting developments. And then, of course, Alan was with us this morning on a different set of topics, but so many people making this happen. It's fabulous. Let's talk about tomorrow. And boy, the sun just broke through here in upstate New York. Hope the same can be said of what's going on down there.
Definitely overcast.
All right.
Just got done spring raining a little bit. Now we've got a little bit of wind to deal with today.
All right. Well, then hopefully tomorrow, because this is a nice card.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow I'll be outside for the afternoon.
Well, that'd be cool.
For the stakes. Hoping so.
All right. Watch out for the squirrels. poor Stan.
Oh my God.
It's still the greatest.
I have yet to see the clip.
It's the greatest. It continues to be the greatest video on the internet. The squirrel attacking Stan Stalter on the outdoor set at Laurel. It's hysterical. The Heavenly Cause starts the action. 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Phillies and Mares going a mile.
Here we go. Welcome back, Intrepid Dream. For Gary Cap, what a day for Gary Capuano last month with Intrepid Dream and Shaft's Bullet. We're kind of looking for a same repeat. We'll get into that in a second, but you got to go with this Philly who just keeps delivering. 5 for 6, dry, wet dirt. She's fine. She's fine with this distance. She loves it. So let's see who's going in for second. And that's where I do fall upon Too Many Kisses. For Tim Keith, Force Boyce. I think just a solid 4 second horse. While this one has yet to get the one turn mile distance, it was very, very close 3 back. This one is really on an upswing ever since getting a little bit of time off. It's going to be interesting what this one can pack. It depends on what the track is going to be like today, of what I'm going to kind of configure for a bias tomorrow, if anything, because sometimes it'll lean towards speed, but sometimes it'll lean very, very fair, which I won't be surprised if it is fair for tomorrow. Like I said, we got a little bit of rain and we're getting a little bit of sprinkles, but I'm really not concerned about the track for tomorrow at all whatsoever. So Too Many Kisses underneath. Pistol was a blazon. Jamie Ness, Michael Sanchez. I was really impressed with the riding that I have seen Michael put on this horse, on this individual. So this one can get crafty if need be. So I think very palatable as far as where this one can be placed, can be pushed a little bit more forward to try and chase Intrepid Dream if that is to be the case.
All right. But clearly, Intrepid Dream, the one to beat. The Primonetta goes as the 8th, and this starts the late pick 4. We're going to go 3/4 with the Phillies and Mares. Group of 7, Can't Hurry Love, 6 mm-hmm. to 5. Disco Ebo for Butchie is 5 to 2. Center Court Champ shows up here as well for Jamie Ness.
And I was in between, so I go with the New York Shipping for the top selection with Trevor McCarthy coming in for that ride as well. So, you know, coming out of those decent enough. And when I say decent enough, I mean decent enough to come down here and be the 6 to 5 in Maryland. So gets that outside advantageous post. I think the race just sets up very, very well for her. I'm in between Disco Ebo, Center Court Champ. I originally had Center Court Champ in my exacta, again, because we're talking about another, this is even more crafty of a Michael Sanchez ride with a Jamie Ness filly. Really, really have been loving what I've been seeing as far as from Sanchez and the saddle as of lately. Disco Ebo, I have full faith in. Of course, you can't knock anything that Butch Reed does. We've got
Cal, did we lose? Yeah, we lost. Cal, I'm losing you here for a minute. You went, Callie, she's there, but yep, there it goes. There was a drop. You could sometimes, it's funny. You can always tell. You can always tell when things are sliding away. Although yesterday, of course, with Ocala, much more used to, much more difficult. Yeah, in fact, she just sent me a note. Yeah, she's having trouble. Let's see if give it another shot. There she is.
I'm in my little cave of an office. So some I've never had a call drop quite that aggressively before, though. So anyway, let's get back to Disco Ebo with Sheldon Russell on. Of course, you can't deny this gutsiness of this filly, but this is going to kind of make, you know, the Barbara Fritchie was a little bit of a tell where she had to take that, you know, outside pressure and just better horses. And I think she comes across a little bit of the same situation with this Dave Duggan shipping coming down. So, and I'm not concerned about the Duggan horse on a fast track. We're pretty much getting the same thing. But that's my only, I'm still in between the 3 and the 5 for my exacted choice. And then I just try and throw in a little bit of price with the 4 Beneath the Stars for Lacey Gaudette. Here's the thing. I'm always going to be a fan of that filly. So, she was on the outside. She kind of ducked out from being on that outside post. She gets in between horses this time. I think she might just, and again, this is specifically for that 4th position.
Well, you know, Disco Ebo has got the race 2 back, and then, of course, the race last fall at Parks. Beneath the Stars, you mentioned, the race December 1st, you know, would fit here nicely. And as for Jamie Ness, yeah, that filly, that race in February at Parks, she's won at 6. She won at 7. But the race, certainly that race in February, is as good as anybody's run here, including the Invader, including Dave Duggan with Can't Hurry Love. So she's the logical favorite, but she doesn't have to win. Let's go to the Frank Whiteley and 7/8 for the boys, and this will we've got when's the Tessio?
Tessio is going to be next week.
I was going to say it's got to be. There used to be a little bit more of a. There used to be a spread. The things were a little bit different, set up a little bit differently. This is 3 and ups. Interesting. All right. 9 horse field, the best, the size wise, the best field of these, of the stake sequence. Coastal Mission for Jeff Runco and Arnaldo Boca Chica. Your favorite, Royal Ship here for Motion and for his man, Victor Carrasco. 24 Mamba comes down for Charlie Baker. This is a nice group.
It's a fun group. It's a nice little mix that keeps things interesting. I'm not going to say it's a spicy group, but it's definitely interesting. I actually go with the number 9 Swift Shore for DePaz and Rodriguez.
Sure.
You have, even if this horse, you know, just bounces a little bit, this is a horse that's still, and again, I'm not entirely trustworthy. And I will say that I don't, clearly, as soon as this horse, you know, gets a little bit of company, it's hard for him to put up too much of a fight. But I just say outside speed. Here we go. Let's go. So with, and especially with this distance of the 7 furlongs, that I really do like this distance for this individual.
I mentioned Runco, and I'm not, I'm leaving out Brother Conway. Who I think deserves a mention. Speaking of Charlestown, got beat, lost that photo in the allowance. But Brother Conway has got plenty of races. The 7/8 becomes probably the key question.
However,
it's fast enough. That's for sure.
Kieran McGee 3 for 8 from Charlestown to Laurel as of lately.
How about that?
So, and then five for eight in the money. So for a price of 15 to one, something you might want to throw underneath.
All right. What price? 15 to one.
Yeah.
Yowza. I'm now more interested even than I was before. All right. It's a good
Prince of Jericho is one that's going to be coming up as well.
Yep.
If you can get a price, if you can get a 6-to-1 or an 8-to-1 for Brittany Russell, definitely worth it. This one also tends to do well second off of the layoff. So again, that 5.5 clearly just a prep. The 7 furlongs, he's no stranger to. This one also, depending on how, because this could get a little speedy up front. It's not, I don't see it anything being anything too ridiculous, which is why with this one's style of just sitting neatly within the pace setter, since, you know, within striking distance, a very short striking distance with some, a little bit of cruising, that's what I see this one really appreciating as well.
Well, that brings us to the fourth of the stakes, the Native Diver. We're going to go 1 1/8. You mentioned you were referencing Shaft's Bullet for Gary Capuano, and here he is. There are some real alternatives, though. Be Better, certainly,
yeah.
Right? And I've been a Vance Scholars fan. He's 6-to-1. That's attractive.
It's really nice to see Vance Scholars just kind of show up.
Yep.
Last time out, because we've all kind of been waiting for it. The horse is there. It just depends, you know. He just needs to get into his season, and you know that was a great indicator last time out.
It's sizzling time, a horse that we've had fun celebrating for Valerie Smith, the big stake mm-hmm. win, right, in February?
Mm-hmm. I have that one just underneath. Who else do I have? We all the horses that you just mentioned, those are my top four selections. Shaft's Bullet, Be Better, Vance Scholars, It's Sizzling Time.
Yep.
Interesting. Those are the only ones really sticking out to me.
No, it makes sense. I don't think there's anything illogical.
Yep.
Four stakes tomorrow at Laurel. And what time do you start today?
Keith Usel and I will probably start in about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes.
Very good. And tomorrow, same?
Same thing.
Right.
Same exact thing.
Very
yep.
good. So close to 11:25 and first post 12:25 at Laurel and Cali. Feel better. Get 100%.
Pray for me.
When's your next big outing? Your big next bachelorette?
Never.
You've had enough.
I have had enough. I've had enough for quite some time.
Miss Francois to you, everybody, and thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
She goes. Oh, she makes me laugh. We've got Roger Satina. I got to get to Roger. That been looking forward to this all week, and he's going to be a lot of fun taking in. The congratulations for Bo Cruz's stake win. And Roger
Hello.
Satina.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, everybody wants to know, is there a video of you rooting home Bo Cruz?
So I was actually at Mama's, and yeah, I was jumping up and down and screaming.
Did anybody take a video, though?
No video.
Ah, boo. All right.
We'll save that video for Derby Day.
All right. Well, so there's bigger aspirations. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first of all, let's talk about, you know, finding this horse and, you know, what has gone on. I mean, he was stake placed, and of course, last year as a 3-year-old, you know, good try in the Matt Wynn, and you know, then after the Iowa Derby, you know, you guys put him away. Talk about how this came about and identifying the horse and everything that happened.
So this is kind of a sad story, but a story that people should hear.
Okay.
So we went to Keeneland September couple years ago. Bruno DiGiulio and with a bunch of other guys, and Rudy Del Judas, who's Bruno's friend. So Rudy Del Judas kicked this horse out at Keeneland September. So we bought a bunch of yearlings intent on pinhooking, possibly, which I really wasn't that excited about. But my two partners, Ryan and Joe, and I are like, well, let's give it a shot. Fast forward, I'm actually at Keeneland. It's freezing here. Fast forward over the summer, he was not ready to be a two-year-old at all. So then come summertime of his two-year-old year, Rudy is galloping him, putting him through his training one morning. And the next horse he gets on, a filly, actually stumbles, and Rudy goes over, and she lands on top of him, and he is now paralyzed.
Yeah.
So pretty bad story. So we'll fast forward. Al Stahl gets him. He runs Fairground, 6 furlongs, runs second his first start. Second start, February, I think it was, his three-year-old year. He goes and he runs in a maiden special at Fairgrounds, 2 turns, and he just runs like unbelievably good. Like press to the turn, not a real quality field, but just draws off like crazy in the stretch. So here we go after the race, you know, fielding some inquiries about purchasing. And I know everybody always says you got to sell, you got to sell. So what wound up happening is Rudy was obviously a big part owner and still is part owner. And he needed some help. So my partner Joe and Ryan and I told them, I said, listen, I said, we could take some money and then just reinvest it, or we can have faith in what we got now. And I just had a feeling about this horse. After that race, I was just like, wow. So we wrote a substantial check to help Rudy out, but really help Rudy and keep the horse, right? And I told Al Stahl what I was going to do. And of course, you know Al better than I do. That's great. I'd love to keep him, but you know, nobody could tell. So then we ran on Derby Day and we won the non-win-for-one allowance. And I took a deep breath and said, okay, we got something here. Then we went and met Wynn and he ran okay third. Not great. A little disappointed, to be honest. Then we went to Iowa, and he didn't run at all in Iowa. Came back and gave him a full body scan. And when they did the full scan, they detected a fractured bone in his hind leg. Nothing too serious, but something that was probably bothering him.
Yeah.
So we sent him to Becky Maker to rehab for 4 or 5 months. And he's just been training really, really well. Ran at the Fairgrounds in 2 other days, going 2 turns, got beat a half a length, ran good. We tried to get into the Fairgrounds, and it did us a favor by not writing the race back. So plan B was, Al always wanted to run him 1 turn again, 7 furlongs to a mile. He thinks that that would be his best distance. And you know what? Looks like he's right. Because he was just, I know he got an easy pace last week. Everything kind of went his way, but he was really good.
Hey, he was terrific. And wins with authority. When he took over, it was obvious he was not going to get caught. And Bo Cruz wins the Commonwealth. Just, you know, what can you say? Win at Keeneland like that. It's fun for everybody. How come you didn't go?
I'm here this weekend for the contest. And I had a bunch of meetings on Friday because I am now out of the skyscraper business and into the building a racetrack business. I will be building the new Belmont Park.
Right.
So that's pretty exciting. It was another once in a lifetime thing. So I signed up for that. I should have came, to your point, but I didn't make it. But I will definitely be there willingly that we run the Churchill Downs Handicap on Derby Day.
Outstanding. Go for the grade one. And, of course, he is a colt. This is not a gelding. This is a colt.
Yeah.
He's a creative cause that was bred by the Scarboroughs. And not a Texas bred like the other one this weekend, but Kentucky. And a $45,000 yearling.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, when I was in college and stuff, his sire, Watt Point, I was there. The dam, his second dam is Hail America out of Watt Point. And I remember seeing Watt Point win the Mass Cap in like 1987 or something like that. It's a little scary, but. So, you know what? We have a lot of high hopes, obviously.
And Roger, as you said, I mean, you've dabbled in ownership off and on, and you know, to get the first graded stake win, it's special.
It's totally special. It's pretty awesome, and I got his thoroughbred figure. He actually ran a one, which was obviously faster than he's ever run before. So. Cautiously optimistic, as usual.
Well, and you know, you've got, we talked a lot this week about the Derby horses arcing toward Churchill, and the ones that have won, you know, that are returning to Churchill for Derby. You know, here's Bo Cruz that's returning to Churchill and has that allowance win. I mean, the horses that run well over the surface, they have a tendency to keep running well over it.
Yeah, they do have a tendency to keep running up well over it. And, you know, we were a little nervous about no LASIKs either, which turned out to be no issue. So you just never know.
Well, and looking at the family's creative cause over the Go Sapper mare, the turn back and a big part of it, so... 7/8, plenty of big opportunities, including later this summer. But right ahead, first and foremost, here's Bo Cruz headed toward the Grade One on the Derby Day. And Roger, you mentioned some of the partners, and you know, I'm glad you brought up Rudy, obviously, as part of this, the big part of it. Because I had not heard an update about how he was doing.
So, I mean, obviously he's in a wheelchair and stuff, but his wife is now training at Gulfstream, Lauren Robson. And I'm sure Rudy's out there every day with him, So, I don't think he has traveled much, but hopefully we'll get him back here in September for the yearly sale. So we can pick a few more out.
Nice. Nice.
I think he's doing all right.
Good. A lot of times, you know, there's these incidents. And, of course, this week there was another fatality in Japan. For those that I'm sure most people have seen it. Just horrific.
Yeah.
And they've had, there's been, I think, three in a matter of months in Japan.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. They had one.
That's terrible.
They had one on the B circuit as well. Very sad. It's a perilous. Listen, it's as all the jocks will tell you. How many jobs does anybody have where an ambulance follows you around?
True.
Another story, Roger, because you referenced, you know, to what you're doing. Your involvement with the new Belmont Park. Explain, you know, the hard hat role that, you know, that you're taking and how it differs from the superstructure work you've done for years.
So, you know, I built many high rise office buildings, from beginning to end, and, work in Manhattan's a little slow and Belmont Park is not nearly close to anywhere. Where I live, it's like 70 miles away, but company I work for in competition has the contract to do it. And I'll be the lead guy in the field there making it happen. It's a very cool building. It's going to be beautiful. And it's a couple-year project. And I was like, when will I ever get the chance to do this again? And the good thing is Captain Frank lives like 15 minutes away. So if I need to stay a couple nights a week, I'd go bunk with him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's in Toronto. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be really, really beautiful. It's going to be very nice. They're there. We're starting to demo the old building now. The new building is like 260,000 square feet under roof. There's like seating for 10,000. There's indoor seating, outdoor seating. It's going to be a beautiful facility when it's done.
Well, and of course, you know, one thing that the people that have, you know, been critical of the size and so forth, they're forgetting that the tunnels to the infield and how the infield is going to be utilized.
Absolutely.
With New Belmont.
That's a big part of it. Listen, it's a long time coming, and who better to build a racetrack than me?
100%. That's fabulous that you signed on for this, Roger. We're certainly going to utilize you for updates.
Oh, we can, yeah, whatever you want to do, absolutely.
Well, I absolutely wasn't going to miss an opportunity to get you on to, you know, most conversations we have with Roger are at NHC and his great runs that he's made there in the contest world and as a player. But now as an owner, a breakthrough win, Bo Cruz, Al Stahl, and feels like there's plenty ahead for this 4-year-old colt. Comes back with a smashing graded stake win. Roger, thanks so much.
Steve, thank you very much. I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Roger Santina, everybody, and a different reason to congratulate Roger, as opposed to making the final table the few times that he has, NHC Hall of Famer, and now graded stake winning owner. Let me slip Hammer in here before we have a visit with Drew Mollica. And Drew those two quotes. Mike Welch, with the opportunity to talk to George Weaver this morning at Palm Beach Downs. Mike was there for the return to the work tab of Fierceness, and George had a partial explanation, including the horse handler being a diabetic, regarding the metformin, and Drew Mollica will fill in some of the other blanks. Hammer, good morning.
Hey, Steve. Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm great. Back at least for one more week before we head to Kentucky. But thanks again for just a fabulous, fabulous 2 weeks at Santa Anita. It was hard to leave. And I was worried that that the jock agents and all the Clocker's Corner crew was we're going to maybe throw me in a trunk because they said they didn't want us to, you know, to stop broadcasting from Clocker's Corner.
No, it's as you see, you can see why everybody shows up there, you know, the regulars every day. There's no better place to spend a morning watching horses go by and people and talking to them. And it was a lot easier than I, you know, I didn't know what to expect either, sitting out there. And they came to me, you know, they'd see me, you know, and just expect me to show up the next day as well. So I, you know, kind of had it was a new experience for me, especially being out there basically 10 days in a row. But really, if you're going to do it, there's no place better.
No.
It's just a lot of characters in and out of there, which helps. I was trying to tell you the truth, still catching up on getting back to my normal routine. And that 4:30 alarm was going off as soon as I was getting ready for that. Now it's like, now I'm back on my normal. Back on my normal, getting up about 6. But It's all good. You know, we left, and we were lucky with the rain. I guess it's supposed to rain here a couple of days this weekend for a few days, but not bad. We got lucky with the weather. And of course, Santa Anita's on a much needed break. I say much needed. Just, you know, any tracks that run the long distance, you just have to take a break. I know it's tough to get it across. You know, when I was here, we were crying for it forever. But it's just such a relief to take get 10 days off. Everyone comes back fresh, including the players and, you know, the horsemen, the fans, everybody just puts a break in it. So that's good for that. We got one more points race tomorrow, and the field will be set. Not that it will, I say it'll be set. We'll have the top 20. I'm sure there'll be some changes leading up to it, as there always are. But, you know, it's kind of a cool time of year. This is what it's all about.
No doubt. And, excited, yeah. Frankly, that you know, after all the concerns and some of the hand wringing that went on about having a Derby horse from California, Stronghold, converts,
yeah.
For Phil, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I think he's going to be all right. I just, you know, he's run good, determined, and you know, nothing against Bob, but you know, I'd rather have a horse. Since he's not eligible to come, I mean, we'd like to see a horse, you know, represented that won the race here for sure. So great, Phil. I forgot to ask it, since it's Masters Week. Are we supposed to be whispering?
That's right. That's right.
You know, so we've been talking a little loud. I saw somebody putt over there a minute ago, and these guys cracks me up. They're, you know, they're 50-100 yards away, and they're whispering as it goes along. I wanted to say something this morning. I heard you mention about. You were looking, I think it was James who brought up a race, and you were having trouble finding your Keeneland stuff because there was so much. You know, drawn this far out as on, I'll give you my point. I'm not a big fan. This is just me. When this thing came around, we would start to draw when I was at Oaklawn still. And when you're there at working at the racetrack and you're drawn 7 days out and then you just lose focus. I mean, you got so many horses in your head that you've seen on paper, and you can't remember what day they're in. And then, as you know, a fan or a gambler, I like the closeness. Boom! We used to draw the Derby on Wednesday. It was a big deal Wednesday. You know, watch that the goofy draw show, and then Thursday you're just focused. You got, you know, 2 days and you're going. Now we're going to draw 7 days in advance, and you piecemeal it around. I think it loses a little bit of its intensity, at least for me. And like you, I got stacked. You get stacks of stuff, and I get just too many horses on the brain. So that's just me. I kind of enjoyed it. Even in the office, you were closer to the event. You know, you just had a few hundred horses on your mind instead of more. So anyway, when you said that today, that's one of the things I can relate to is. Gosh, I got stacks and stacks of PPs. What form do I need? I've seen these horses, so they're not fresh in my head as they were when we drew closer to the event. So I got that off my chest finally. I know a lot of the figure makers and everything else love it, and that's great. I mean, it's the way it's going to be. I'm not saying we go back. I'm just maybe I'm having a harder time to adjust. But it loses, like I said, it loses its intenseness because it's just out there for so long. But so you mentioned the Derby will draw on the Saturday before. Is that how it'll work?
Correct.
And and excuse me for not being up on it, but is there any fancy dancy deal? It's just a regular draw now, right?
Well, they draw, you know, they draw the Derby and the Oaks, you know, in a room.
But I mean, you know, it's not one where you pick out and you pick your post position. It's just like a regular draw.
Yeah, and it's a pill pull, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good. Well, you know, we'll be excited for that. Like I said, not much going on out here, which is a welcome break. And we saw they got the Oaklands winding down, right? You know, another thing, I'm not critical mode, but, you know, I think, you know, at Oaklawn, when they used to have that festival of the South, and they would wind up, they would have between Saturday and Saturday, they would just boom, 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 boom. They had all their big races, and it was kind of celebratory. So now we ran the Arkansas Derby, what, 2 weeks ago? It'll be 2 weeks ago now. And then we're finishing up, you know, the festival, which they stretched out, the Arkansas, the Apple Blossom and the Count Fleet as well. And another thing, they just kind of lost its intensity, that festival that's out there. And as we're heading into mid-April, they still have 3 weeks left to run, and it's just a long, 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 long meet. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just a traditionalist, but I do like change. For a guy that loves change, me, and likes to do stuff out of the box, some things I liked the way they were. But just taking a quick pop, look at this Apple Blossom. I believe, checking the weather, that they'll be fast and firm there at Oaklawn. Or fast and fast. Bob Baffert sends out a Dare Manor to run, and probably fits that track, you know, just with his speed style and everything else. You know, this isn't the apple of all blossoms, but it's a nice race. A Dare Manor deserves to be favored. I think you got to try and beat her, though, just with the shipping and everything else. Not Going Too Crazily Wet Paint has been sitting there probably waiting for this race. 4-year-old debut, you know, first time he gets older this year, did run in the distaff and didn't run great. 3 for 3 at Oaklawn, seems to hit her right in the head. Brad's been firing on all cylinders. I think I would lean to her a little bit more just because of the familiarity. Upset Special, Misty Vale coming out of the Azari from Mike Maker. Not really known for his dirt fillies, but she's performed well in all the preps leading up to it, and that's what you're supposed to do, and fire your best shot on the big day comes. So, you know, maybe taking a look at her at a little bit of a price. And the other local horse, Tax, who was kind of a show favorite after her victory in the Black Eyed Susan last year. Which was very highly pushed by the Steve Bick show. Tax, heard you mention earlier. Obviously, the race last time, 6 furlongs, was not anything more than a prep for this, and she passed that with flying colors, and they got everything they wanted out of it. And Randy Morse is had a great meet, and I could see her running well too.
Yeah, I think this is a good addition.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah,
I didn't say it was bad. It's just, you know, it's a very good. The Apple Blossom, one of the absolute top races in the country for fillies and mares. It's early, and we're just finding out that the early races have over the last few years have been hit. From you know, the comebackers taking their time coming back a little bit later in the year, this horse always holds up the test of time. And then the Count Fleet looks like a repeat of the horses that have been dominating there all year, Skelly and Tejano Twist. I don't know, not much to separate them. Skelly obviously is gonna open that door and blast. I mean, you look at him, and you just look at that string of nines, you know, 1 and 9 and 1 and 2, 9 flat. I mean, just a true sprinter, and gets advantage there because at Oaklawn, you know, there's only 6 furlongs. There's no extended chute. And so if you're a true sprinter, like it looks like Skelly is, there's no try having to take a shot at 6.5 or 7. They're running right up your alley. So this is his game, 6 furlongs. I'm kind of trying to get fancy here. I don't know. I don't know if they can get him, to tell you the truth. Kind of boring, but...
No, it makes sense. He makes perfect
right.
sense.
I mean, and I'll just do one more here, the Stone Street Lexington. And this is why sometimes it's hard for me to pick, because, you know, I said, oh, Joe Orsino's a good friend, longtime good friend, and he's in here. They're obviously trying to get to the Derby. I think the win would put him in, right? Is that correct? Not close, but in.
Yeah.
And then a second place would put him on a bubble 2020 and need a couple things to happen.
Yes.
But you know, he didn't run his race last time. He didn't get what he needed. Who was going to run their race last time against Fierceness anyway? this is a little bit softer spot, and I'd like to see, if their goal is to get in the Derby, I'd like to see them get in the Derby. So, I mean, Hades is good. I see an upsetter for me on the outside from Bill Morey's barn. I think this horse is he puts his horses in really good spot. He's really adapted well to since moving to Kentucky a number of years ago. And I can see Lucky Jeremy doing a little bit of an upset in this spot. So that's my, that's all what I've all basically I've looked at with the soft turf at Keeneland here the next couple of days. I'll just pull a wait and see there and get all the late scratches. I was just on the site. I didn't see any for today yet, but they'll come up. So no need to go crazy there. Did I hear Du Jour is not shipping?
Yeah, that was reported. Marcus reported that 3 days ago.
And obviously, I would, you know, it's too bad because we like to see them run against, you know, the horses in the East. He's, you know, I've, you know, one of the top milers out here, but obviously the weather was, I'm sure the soft turf changes are
up, by the way, at,
they're up now. Okay.
Five minutes ago. And part, by the way, part of those changes, one thing I did not mention, Barber Road, John Ortiz and the team, forced to retire Barber Road. He was entered today, and he's coming out. They're going to let him decompress a little bit and then make him a stable pony. So, Barber Road.
Who was on a Derby trail a couple years ago and ran some good races at Oaklawn. And just, you know, you're kind of rooting for him a little bit. He just never, you know, went over the hump. But, yeah, cool horse, Barber Road. He's going to be a stable pony. Great. So, he's not going anywhere. He'll be close to home. So that's pretty cool.
A quick note as well. In the limestone, Kelsey Danner is scratching Nice's Pie. I was using her down inside, and Extreme Diva comes out. The 14, Brian Lynch, will run Hot Beach, and Hot Beach is at 12-1, drawing in, is very interesting. Do not ignore the 14 there, Hot Beach. And, you know, the other day when the Du Jour came up, the scratch, I said I thought there was somebody else, and indeed, Equitize was coming out. That was the other one that I was thinking of. Equitize, scratch for Chad. And now Emmanuel absolutely is controlling speed in this Makers today. So I've got Emmanuel on top anyway, but now I like him even more. So that's that.
Yeah, that's too bad. What did that scratch down to? Six horses now?
Six horse field.
Yeah, you got Cheryl Spite in there who hasn't won actually since this race 2 years ago, right?
That sounds right. Yep.
And hasn't been running too well. I mean, this Master of the Seas, he's off and on the deal. Naval Power, the other one, the other Charles Appleby in there, who has only won 6 out of 7, coming up. And he's got a soft turf victory in his back piece to go back to. I don't know, looking for a shot. Maybe the other Appleby could look right. But you're right about the Emmanuel situation. He's hanging in there. And, you know, he ran the 4-star day with a on the slop, or excuse me, in the bog, I guess you would say. And he could be fine. Maybe I would maybe take a shot with Naval Powers as a bomb at Master of the Seas, obviously Towers.
Five horse field, by the way, in the fifth after the off the turf with that allowance. Only the 2, 7, 9, 10, 14 are the only horses that run. That's it. All right.
You know, that's too bad. I mean, here we are. It's like 3 weeks. Can I just get placed 3 weeks of good weather for Keeneland? You know, and boom, second weekend they get nailed.
Well, they always. It's always there's. You,
I know
the spring. Know. The spring there is rough and very. I never seem to be able to go there on a spring like day.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. I'll be there next. Is it next week already?
Yeah.
Gosh, was it? We're the 12th. Yeah, I'll be there next weekend. Actually.
Nice.
Got a couple things, so we'll give the. And I have never been to a race at the spring in Keeneland. If you can hard to believe,
but I know I'm you always, said that. Always, that surprised me.
Always working.
Yeah,
always
that's working. True. That's true. That's true. That's
so true. Just never, you know, just was just a Keeneland was just a place on the map, you know. So, all right. It's all good. And we'll catch you next week.
Talk next
Enjoy.
Week.
Enjoy. Have a great weekend, everybody.
There we go. Hammer, away we go. Let me get to Drew Mollica here for the last segment, and we will do a, you know, we'll do, maybe put Tom, we'll put Tom Albertrani and Ralph Nix, we'll package them together. Right now, we will bookend the morning. We started with Alan Foreman, and now we bring in Drew Mollica. Drew, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Obviously, would prefer not to have to call you on circumstances like this, but and I wanted everybody to hear from Alan this morning to explain the situation specifically that George Weaver and Phil Schoenthal are dealing with this week over the last 72 hours. And Phil basically letting Alan represent him in terms of, you know, the way his thing is being dealt with. You're representing George Weaver.
Yeah, I've known George since, like, you know, he came on the racetrack. I mean, he's built a great career, and he's had a lot of trauma in his life, with his wife almost getting killed because of her love for horses, that she stayed, you know, continued to gallop into her 50s. And I know this about George Weaver. We'll talk about the facts. George Weaver does not deserve to be facing 2 years regarding this alleged violation. That's one. So let me just say that I represent a lot of people, and I know a lot of people on the racetrack, and this one offends my sensibilities, not only on a legal level, because that we can talk about that. George Weaver is not the person that the high woo henchmen should be going after, and certainly not for this. But that's my personal bent. Let's talk about the reality, okay? Metformin is on their banned substance list. I posit if you're moving to get methamphetamine off your banned substance list because of its prevalence in street drug use, what in God's name is metformin, who would a legal diabetic medication, the third most prescribed medication in the United States and maybe the world? Over 25 million prescriptions out there. Why in the world would you say, and I'm appreciative for Alan's work for Mr. Schoenfeld as it relates to methamphetamine, and I'm fully behind it. But now we're balancing methamphetamine and metformin, and George Weaver should face 2 years, literally throw away a lifetime of work, and this is what I have to defend? And I will defend it vigorously. But it's just wrong, Steve. It's wrong at its core, and the people who want to defend it as right are completely off base.
Well, I'm not gonna do a, you know, this was foretold, but it was, and the unintended consequence elements of this, and you know the way in which. Essentially, it was slapdash the way things were put together. You also have a disconnect between Haiwu's operating manner and principles versus what essentially what HISA is trying to do. And you know, Lisa Lazarus in the constant crosshairs of you know any criticism. I mean, she's got her, you know, she's got her vehicle that she's trying to move. But the Haiwu team, they are essentially an independent entity. Then you fold in the FTC's portion of, you know, rule approvals and so forth. You know, we've been told that, oh, the FTC has to approve things. But in the meantime, there's been any number of policies that have been changed, you know, with line item, essentially line item vetoes or adjustments unilaterally. So it seems very selective about what gets administered through the FTC and what things are changed unilaterally.
I must tell you, I sent an email to my legal colleagues when I read this story about Mr. Schoenfeld. I don't know the case.
Schoenfeld.
I know, you know, but Schoenfeld. But let me just talk about one thing, and then I'll come back to this. I know the National HBPA and Eric Hamelback have done a great job in proposing and telling people about, let's implement something called no effect thresholds, where these contaminants, we put a threshold on them, where these contaminants, if tested, we know that they have no effect on the racehorse. We know they're contaminants. And that makes some sense, so we wouldn't have to go through this. And I think Mr. Hamelback has some great thoughts on this, and I think he's someone that you should, maybe you do talk to him, but I mean, they're
all the
right.
Time.
No effect thresholds. So that's one. And then the other thing is, we see through some of these medications, you know, Mike Lauer's case and Rusty's case, and I have numerous others, and there was some colloquy with Ms. Lazarus that there's no collateral damage, that, human beings, lives, livelihoods, I think that's collateral damage. I think that the angst that my client, George Weaver, is going through this morning is collateral damage. And I'm sorry, in the name of sanctity and saviors and we're going to save this sport, well, let's call it. As I said to my good friends at the TDN, we have to come to grips with there's no pure environmental area in the world, especially on the backstretch of a racetrack. And the groom of this horse is a diabetic, takes metformin. This groom, we're investigating, but has hands on this horse 3, 4, 5 hours a day, every day. And should we put a sign out, no diabetics need apply? I mean, there was a comment when the methamphetamine came out that the trainers have to pay a little bit more to get better grooms. Is that the suggestion that people who are affected by meth addiction work cheaper? I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Hmm. We have lost sight of reality. And it tears at my soul, this case with George. It tears at my soul. And I'm going to defend it vigorously. But what I said yesterday, I mean that the people who run this industry, the people, the real decision makers, have to ask yourself, they should ask themselves, have we lost our way? Have we lost our way? Because I think we have. I mean, I know a lot about the federal indictments, and I had clients involved in not the main indictment, but I know a lot about them. And that, even in that system, when you got in the federal system, there was some logic to what went on. And they, it is what it is. The facts are out there, so everybody can see them. Here, we're dealing with I don't know what we're dealing with. How's that? I don't know. But I know a good man is having a bad day. And this isn't right.
No, and the same, from what we can tell, and there's been, an extra, I don't know how many days and so forth with Phil Schoenthal's situation. But, Phil had a rider and a groom tested, and they came back positive for meth. You bring up a good point about, about personnel. I see you talk about comments and the exterior. I see people saying, "Well, it's the trainer's fault for having that kind of what kind of employee pool do you think exactly we're drawing from? The narrow-mindedness and in fact arrogance of that line of thinking is grotesque in itself.
Well, methamphetamine affects people of all
exactly.
Social stratas, and it's not just a poor man's drug or a blue-collar drug. It's a vicious killer that may have killed my dearest friend in the world, Chris Antley. I don't know that, you know, rest his soul. I mean, but it's a vicious, vicious drug, and it affects all types of people. People with high levels of IQ and people who struggle in life. But my father, God rest his soul, told me when I was going to the racetrack early on, there's no steeple or Star of David at the stable gate. It's a rough place, the backstretch of a racetrack. And the people who groom horses, God bless them. They dedicate their lives to them. Hopefully they all get a good fair wage and work hard. But they're diabetics, and some of them have drug problems. Some of them have alcohol problems. Some of them have no problems. So, you know, it's a microcosm of the world.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, and at what level, I don't even know in the state of New York, if you can ask your employee if he's a diabetic. I don't know if that's a HIPAA violation or not. But I know this, that diabetics exist in the world. And I know this, that people who use cocaine exist in the world. Certainly people who use methamphetamine, and they work for a living. And in working for a living, they come in contact with these animals. And I don't know that we can ever have a zero tolerance of anything. So no threshold or no effect thresholds make sense. I always use this line. Airline pilots, police officers, school teachers, in their collective bargaining agreements, have thresholds for things like cocaine. Because they realize a police officer, if he's tested randomly, could have cocaine or methamphetamine in his system because he or she interacts with people who have that. So it's collectively bargained for that. A police officer who has a nanogram or a picogram of cocaine in its system is not fired. I think the same happens for judges. Why can't we have a similar level of tolerance for what we know is not a zero-tolerance society? And certainly, if you walk down the street in Manhattan, we all got marijuana in us anymore. I mean, have we lost our way? And it's a rhetorical question because we have. And we as an industry want to, we needed to do better. That was the argument, right? We need to do better. We're going to get these cheaters out. We got to stop this. And High Wu and Heisek came in with we're going to be transparent. We're going to, air quotes, help you. Well, I dare say that is not accurate. And I appreciate the time to say it. I'm going to defend George Weaver with everything I have because he does not deserve to lose his career over this.
Well, and nobody the people that are involved in these kinds of scenarios when it comes to the contaminants. This was just an unnecessary direction
it shouldn't be a banned substance. That's my opinion. Yeah. I've spoke to veterinarians and chemists.
Yep.
Has no pharmacological effect on racehorses, and it is prevalent in the society. Again, I've gotten 3 or 4 text messages from people in the game who showed me pictures of their their metformin prescriptions and say, guilty as charged. Again, I don't know where this is going. I look forward to a fair process, but I know this. If this was the old system, people like George would have legal remedies to get a stay, get before an independent arbiter, a judge who's duty-bound to hear the law. And you could get a stay and litigate, but this provisional suspension is so draconian. It is earmarked with everything that's anti-American. And I say that as a defense attorney. When you don't have any remedy, when you're out the gate and you have to feed kids and take care of a wife or have family issues, and you have no way to put a stop on this freight train, we've lost our way.
Now, Drew Mollica, and you can be assured that Drew will do everything to help George. And you heard the same kind of commentary from Rusty Arnold and Mac Robertson and Kerry Bryan. Phil Schoenthal is for now letting the dust settle, but Phil, I'm sure, similar, thought process. Drew, I appreciate it. And, of course, whatever you need from me, feel free.
Well, good luck, good racing, and here we go. But I like talking to you, Steve, but I'd rather talk to you about you winning $1 billion lottery or something like that.
Well, no, I'll be happy with a maiden special win. That's the,
good luck. Take care.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Mollick, everybody. Thanks to Drew and Alan starting and finishing the show with this difficult topic. James Scully, of course, and Marcus Hirsch and Callie Francois, Roger Satina, the Dodger, and Hammer as well. Good luck this weekend. I'm just doing the changes for Keeneland. I'll put up the late pick five. And good luck this weekend. All right, back with you Monday as we get ready to go to Derby. Thanks, everybody. Replay 5-8 on SiriusXM. I think they're straightening out. They got the automated programming problem that they will straighten out today. Thanks.
Horsemen, nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. In the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both be run Friday, May 31st, on a card that also includes two Pennsylvania bred stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominations close May 15th.
Racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
An app created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret?